This is Dairy Radio Now with Bill Baker. Feed Form Friday.
With Dr. Mike Hutchins, Professor Emeritus from the University of Illinois.
Well, welcome to today's Feed Form, and we're going to talk about longevity. This is presented by Dr. Stephen Lamont from the University of Guelph in Canada. And longevity can be defined several different ways. Basically, it says how long does a cow stay in the herd? Ideally, one measure is what percent of the herd of the cows are in third lactation or greater. What percent is that? Another goal would be to how many lactations or what's the average age of the cows in the herd as well could be another measurement that farmers can use. Florida has some interesting data that they suggested that the optimal lifespan would be 7 years in the herd before these cows go on to their second career. And in the United States, that number is about 5 years. So there's a real opportunity. The European Union will typically have a year longer, which means they get an extra lactation out of these cows, and that can really spell some advantages in terms of profitability. You might ask listeners, how old can a cow live? Well, 20 years is possible. In most cases, they won't be very productive at that point, but they can live that long as well. Certainly, longevity is concerned because it impacts welfare, and certainly factors can affect how cows leave the herd. We call a career-ending risks for a dairy cow, that if a cow doesn't become pregnant, she no longer becomes very profitable once she gets out more than 300 days in milk. Low milk production is another career-ender. A mastitis would be another one. Of course, lameness. Cows that are lame will not produce as much milk and have stress on their body as well. So culling affects longevity. Culling is an economic decision. And so cows get culled. Longevity gets shortened because of availability of replacement heifers. Cow herself is in poor health. Well, the quality of life of that cow itself is a factor. And then, of course, is there another animal that can come in and make more money in that stall? And many farms, another way to look at profitability is return per stall on the dairy farm. So certainly these cows that are culled are going to be below average cows, usually due to a pregnancy, a mastitis, and lameness on the farm. And certainly our new move now with beef on dairy, breeding about a third of our cows to Angus animals, that reduces the supply of heifers. And of course, that limits the amount of culling and availability of animals to replace here as well. We look at studies that say what are some of the challenges. And if we look at cows that calve in, 56% of the cows are defined as healthy cows. 43% of the cows have one case, such could be milk fever, could be ketosis, displaced abel mason. 43% have that, and about of that, 35% of the 43% would be two or more cases, which really affects fertility and milk production as well. We know that if we have healthy cows, 80% of these cows will be pregnant by the second breeding. And how do we measure they're healthy? Well, we can measure something we call heptaglobin, which can be measured in the blood and reflects stress on cows. And if that number is over 0.5 grams per liter or quart, then we have a problem. We look at what we call fixable things that can improve longevity. I mean, getting cows pregnant, curing mastitis and hoof health. Unfixable would be those that have mastitis, that's chronic, Yone's disease, and other disorders as well. So our take-home messages include, one, culling is an economic decision that contributes to longevity. Options for longevity include those that can be fixed on the farm or those that are not fixable and identifying them very quickly. Transition health is a very key factor here as well. And poor health reduces production and productive life. Well, that completes the program for today. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you, Mike. That's Dr. Mike Hutchins, Professor Emeritus from the University of Illinois, featured every Friday here on our Feed Forum Friday on Dairy Radio Now.
A visit last month in Texas near the Mexico border by Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins featured an announced plan to combat and eradicate the new world screwworm threat to our country and our nation's livestock. That included collaborative efforts with Mexico.
In person, our own USDA team on the ground in Mexico, alongside and reviewing and analyzing and helping with their controls and continuing to aggressively engage.
And earlier this week, the secretary announced risk-based port reopenings for cattle, bison, and equine imports from Mexico. The first such reopening is scheduled for as early as July 7th at the Douglas, Arizona port facility. Evaluation by USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service and Mexican counterparts after each reopening will precede scheduled, systematic reopening of other ports in New Mexico and Texas over the next several weeks. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.